Hi guys, my name is Nefe Onokosa. Welcome to the Let's Talk Nigeria show with Nefe. Yes, I'm here again, and yeah, remember after the last episode, I told you guys that by the next time you hear my voice, we'll have our president elect. Well, we do have our president elect now, very controversial one. You know, there's been a lot of talk about should he, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the election process. It was this smooth? I mean, we saw a lot of things online. We saw results that wasn't what they announced. We saw people being beaten. I mean, it was just a really messy one. And I mean, I'm actually, first of all, at INEC at how everything played out. And for the first couple of days, I was down. I wasn't lying. I'm sure like many other Nigerians were all down. But I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about INEC and, you know, PB's press conference or Atiku's press conference. I'm sure that everybody here is as up to date as I am on what's going on how the elections went, on how INEC failed on their promises. So I'm not going to talk about that. In a couple of days, I had a call with a very good friend of mine, probably one of the first friends I made when I got into University of Benin. We had a very intelligent conversation. I was like, bro, I need to get you on the pod. So today I won't be alone. I have my friend here with me, goes by Sheun Jegede. So yeah, Sheun, I would like you to introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, hi Nefe. Hello. It's good to be here. Hello everyone. I was listening to your intro, and man, I totally agree with you when you said it affected a lot of people. You know, for me, the first few days I was down, and to a certain extent, I had high hopes seeing what the commission promised. I had high hopes in what was going to happen. I felt, well, it's Beavers. It seems like it's going to be they're going to get it right this time.
Like a game changer, it
But at the
seemed
end
like
of
a
it
game
all,
changer.
yeah, I think that's the right word, like a game changer. And then millions of us were disappointed because everyone went out. Even though not as much as previous elections, but people came out and they were willing to cast their votes, because they had belief in the system, and they also believed that they were going to be voting for someone that was coming to change the system entirely. Oh
Well, to be honest,
well, like it.
I feel like a lot of people came out, maybe even more than previous elections, because people anticipated this election. People were, I mean, Gens that don't care about things came out, and INEC spent over 300 billion naira. They promised us free and fair elections, and I mean, I disappointed is even being nice if you say, by saying I'm disappointed. I remember the Sunday after the elections, I couldn't even focus in church. Like, I was checking my phone every 2 minutes. I went back home, I was on a rise from the election Saturday morning till like Monday. I was on a rise constantly, and then when people took their eyes off, they came to announce winner. It just looked like a thief in the night.
Talking about the announcement, man. I think the weird thing is I was awake at that time. It was around 4 a.m. ish Nigeria time. I was awake. It was like a Monday, yeah. And normally I wake up early to get ready for work and all of that. But 4 a.m. was quite early for me. I just was, after doing everything, the early morning moves, prayers and everything, I went online and I was saying, this guy has been the Asiwaju Bola Ahmed
Announced.
Tinubu has been declared or has been announced as president. And I was like, what? And I went and I went and turned on my TV and I was like, they were actually announcing that he had been returned as president. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, that's
And it
the
was a
first day.
Monday.
Was it Monday? No, I think it was Tuesday morning.
Oh yeah, Tuesday, I remember.
Tuesday
Yeah,
morning,
Tuesday
yes.
morning, exactly. Tuesday.
Come here, I just woke up.
Tuesday.
That was the first thing I heard that if I what? And I just my whole day was disorganized, my whole day was. But yeah, let's I remember seeing it in tweets. I think was it Congo that it was a joke tweet that because due to no amount of no money we will not be holding elections this year. Was it Congo or one other African country? Like, and actually just done that to us, tell us they're not going to hold election, but they already have their figures. Instead of deceiving us and coming on to that. But yeah, it is what it is. So I have a few questions for you, and I hope that we can talk about it. I have a few questions because a lot of Nigerians are I mean, a lot of people were demoralized, but after a couple of days, after listening to different speeches, and a lot of people's hopes were renewed. Maybe the mandate to be retrieved, you know. I mean, for some people, they are happy because this is who they wanted. For some people, this is not who they wanted, you know. So, it's different from different sides of the camp. Me, I'm just of the opinion that I really don't care if it was done the right way. As much as we want one person, I just wanted whoever is going to achieve, you know, to the position, come the right way, you know, not with all the widespread rigging. We saw videos from places in Lagos, in bars. We saw Kanu. I mean, it was in Kanu where the under 8 were voting, and the policeman was saying that he cannot tell with his eyes if they are dwarfs. Play on our
ideas. That was very hilarious. When I watched that clip on TV, it was hilarious. And I remember someone saying online that we need to know what medical course this person studied to know that these children or these people are dwarfs.
Well, let me ask you here. What are your thoughts on the Justin election? Looking at it from the side of INEC, from the side of the political class, and from the masses, what are your views? Looking at it holistically, what are your views on the election?
Oh, well, at the risk of being biased, I might, you know, be considering the fact that I really support the obedient movement, I will try as much as possible to be objective, you know, in my response. So the elections, of course, the elections ahead on the 25th of February were believed or supposed to be free and fair.
INEC has failed us. INEC has broken their own laws. Let's leave INEC. We saw the mass turnout. What does this mean for the political class? What does this mean for the masses? I think that's where I'm focused. I don't want to bother about INEC. They failed. Let's talk about the class. For example, we've seen a lot of newcomers coming into office now, like the guy in Atta guy in Lagos, Etiosa. We saw
Thaddeus Atta.
Yeah, Thaddeus Atta. We saw the man, the guy who's
Kaduna.
Kaduna, the Okada guy, whose name is actually Matthew. You know, what does this mean what does this mean for the political class?
Well, I think one thing that this election has done is shake up status quo. It has changed a lot of things. Now we have someone who, let's look at Kaduna, for instance, the Okada rider, Mr. Donatus Matthew. You know, he won the seats of the House of Representatives for Karura Federal Constituency in Kaduna State. And this is actually showing that the people are actually having their choices, you know, actually going to this place, this House of Representatives, to actually represent them. In the past, it's usually, you know, rich people that have been, how do they normally say it? There's this word they normally use, career politicians, the elites, the career politicians. They are the ones that are always going for this post. And for one reason or the other, you know, they always get it. And at the end of it all, they do not do anything, you know. But now we have someone who is like, who represents what we call the masses.
Yeah.
We have people who represents what we call the masses in the House of Representatives. And we expect that these people really feel what the people are feeling, and then they would be able to do what the people want them to do. Not like in the past where we have people who are just there and just wanted to enrich themselves and just,
One funny thing about this Mr. Matthew that everybody calls an Okada rider, one funny thing about him is that he's actually a counselor. Now, as a counselor, he had the chance to enrich himself. He had the chance to steal so much money because a counselor is like House of Reps in the local government setting. So he'd be able to enrich himself. This is a counselor who also does something, a decent job. It might not be the best of job, but you can say that he's choosing not to steal, but he's actually doing something else. We might call him an Okada rider, but we know a lot of counselors who in less than 2 years they built their houses, you know. So, but this is I feel like this is a good thing, seeing that for once we're seeing that in a way, even though we feel robbed, we can see that our vote counted in some areas. Some areas where they chose to ignore. The person who was holding that position before was there for 4 years.
Yeah.
For 16 years, four tenors. You know, so it's an amazing thing.
And there was absolutely nothing to show that he had been on that seat. I don't know if he gets, you know, the person that was there before. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Look at Thaddeus Atta, for instance, now. You know, it's a funny thing because this guy is someone I know was doing the groundwork at the grassroots. He was there with the people at the grassroots trying to ensure that they knew who he was and they knew his plans for Etiosa, you know. And he was elected. Many people will know that that position was also being keenly contested by other people. Notable Black among them was popular musician Banky W. And, you know, it was a shocker to many people that Banky W lost that seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, many questions, people were saying a lot of things. We had some actors come and say a lot of things, try to, even after winning, they were asking Atta to come online and tell people what he wanted to do and all of that. I'm like, this guy has won fair and square. He did the work.
I mean, people can say, we're angry, we're just competing for labor. Well, I feel like this is collateral damage. You know, for Banky W, it's collateral damage. It just happened to be on the right side, the wrong side of luck. And the thing about, I won't, because when I saw a lot of talk, is a DME post questioning him to turn Instagram live. And to be very fair, I looked at Banky W's Instagram. I looked at Atta's Instagram and Thaddeus Atta's Instagram. Now, Banky W, the only thing I can say he has more than Thaddeus was better graphics. But if you go to Thaddeus, you see that this person was a political person. There was post of Labour Party, you see my rallies. Banky W, maybe was ashamed of PDP, I don't know. But it was very little about PDP, about his own party. And again, when you go to the polling, you don't vote for the vote party. So I just feel like this election is sending a message to the political class that our voices are beginning to be heard. We want people, like I've always said, that we need leaders who are truly Nigerians. What do I mean? We need leaders who relates to the problems of the everyday Nigerian. You cannot be the governor of my state if you have not bought fuel in the last 12 years. You've not killed the
police.
You don't know what they mean. So how do you can represent me well? You know?
Yeah,
so,
because you don't know where the shoe hurts or where it pinches. Yeah.
So you can't really represent me if you don't know my pain. That's basically. But yeah, so your thoughts on that, So the masses are rising, our voices are being heard.
I strongly believe our voices are being heard. I strongly believe our voices are being heard. And it's evident. Look at now, they say we have 6 Labour Party senators in the Senate House. And we have about 33 honorables, like they call them, in the House of Representatives. Yeah. I think that's a good place to start. You know, and you know, it's not just the two-party system where you just have the APC and the PDP. You're having more people in there. I think there are also people from NNPP that are now in the Senate and the House of Representatives. I think if we have that mix of, parties represented in these top places in the Senate and the House of Rep, it really goes a long way to ensuring that these houses or this, the House of Representatives and the Senate House are able to do what the masses really want. You know, before we used to say the Senate House, for instance, and the House of Representatives, they are just rubber stamp people. They just bring one thing and, you know, they just let it go. They pass the bill so fast because the presidency is the party system and all of that. But I think that is going to change. It's going to change going forward. And I think there are going to be laws that are going to, and policies that are really, really going to move the country forward. Yeah. That's my hope. And I believe it's going to happen going forward.
I was even going to say, it's not really about the Labour Party. It's about getting the right people there. Like, I'm happy that you mentioned NNPP. We are seeing more. Mm. It's not just APC and PDP anymore. And again, it's not really about just Labour Party. It's about getting the right people. Yeah. I know people were angry. I know the poly units, my friend in Benin said they didn't even want to know who. All the rest person Labour. I mean, that's a good thing, but it's still a dangerous thing because we need to also, like I've always said, investigate these people we are voting for. Let's vote
the Peter Obi effect.
Yeah, so we're not voting people out. We're voting people in. Do you understand? So if you come up, we go with a set of vote people out. We don't care who this person is. We just want one person to leave. We don't care who is replacing, which is a dangerous thing to do. We're not voting out. We're voting in. So we should be conscious of the people we are voting for, regardless of party. I know we don't like the two major parties anymore. We're tired of PDP, we're tired of APC. But in doing that, in voting out APC, PDP, let's also investigate the other people. Let's not get... Yeah. Because these people were talking, this APC, PDP, in 1999, they were novices. They were like the Labour Party of now. People just voted again.
Yeah.
You know. But let's move on. There was something you said during our call that I really liked. You said we need to, from a... We need a government that is massive centered. You know, I'm a graphic designer. Yeah. One of the things we talk about in graphic design is user-centered design. We're not just focusing on ourselves as a designer. Politicians are not just focusing on themselves. You know, we have people just bring out manifestos that are not really user-centered. They are not for the masses, just what they think. So I want you to just throw some light on that. I really enjoyed hearing you say that during our call.
Yeah, for me, I think it's something that really touched me during the period of the presidential campaigns. We could see, of course, everyone was going from state to state and campaigning, trying to tell people what they had in mind to do. But His Excellency Peter Obi took it a bit further, where he was having, what do they call it, town hall meetings with, town hall meetings with, you know, different groups of people, with students, men, women in different states of the Federation. He was going from state to state, meeting different people. He was going to meet the traditional rulers. I don't think there is any place where he went to where he did not meet a traditional ruler, except for probably Lagos, where we later learned that it was the Oba of Lagos who declined meeting him at all. He really wanted to see him, but he declined meeting him, so he wasn't able to go there. But everywhere he went to, even in the north, he was able to meet first-class rulers, top traditional rulers in the different states of the Federation. And that just shows that he wants to be able to hear from the horse's mouth, from the grassroots, what the problems are, and also let them know this is his plan, or these are his plans on how he intends to solve whatever these problems are. And that really, really resonated with me. And I think it's the best way to go, knowing what the problems are and trying to seek solutions from the point of view of the masses. You know, of course, everyone has manifestos, but it goes beyond manifestos. Manifestos are just you coming out to say, this is what we want to do, this is what we are going to do, and all of that. But beyond that, we need to also do something like talk to people and know exactly what their problems are, and know that this is, and also ask them what they think are the best solutions, you know, to solving these problems. And that way, it's easier to solve the problems. The solutions are people-centric, and, you know, people are better taught rather than us just doing, or rather than the politicians just doing, you know, what they know how to do best, which is, in some cases, keep the promises they have made, which in most cases is not what the people really want. So, yeah, I think that really resonated with me.
All right. So going forward, you mentioned earlier that you are part of the obedient movement. You are going to be biased. So I'm going to ask you, as an obedience. Peter Obi in his press conference said he won the elections. And he said, look, we're going to court. They want us to go to court, we'll go to court. So my question here is, if we go to court, if Peter Obi goes to court, what do the results mean for Nigeria? I mean, if he goes and he wins in court and he retrieves the mandate, or if he goes and he loses, what does that mean for Nigerians?
Yes. The thing is this. I think, aside from going to court to, you know, question the legitimacy of INEC's declarations, I think at this point, the judiciary is also on trial. They would have to eventually answer to Nigerians. Yeah. I don't know if you get my point. Yeah. So I would want to believe that they would do the right thing.
But what if he goes to court and he doesn't win?
You know, the weird thing is, I'm not really thinking of that scenario, but for the sake of answering that question, if he doesn't win, there are a lot of impacts it's going to have on the economy, for instance. If you check in the news, you see news reports that are saying that the stocks are dropping as a result of Tinubu being declared the winner of the elections. I think it's going to affect foreign investment in the country one way or the other. The precedent that Tinubu brings is not really good or encouraging to investors, you know, in the country. Aside from that, you would have a lot of people attempting or trying to leave the country. You know, I've had chats with people who said, look, I'm only staying back because I believe that Peter Obi is going to win. Now, if his mandate is not gotten back, or if he's unable to get the mandate back at the court, we'll see a lot of people leave the country, you know, youths especially. And that's going to really, really affect the country in very adverse ways, because we are letting bright minds go into the West, where they probably will be better appreciated, I know it's not all rosy for everyone over there, yeah, but you know, to a large extent, we have a lot of Nigerians outside the country who are making it, and a lot of other Nigerians who are still in Nigeria want to go out there and also make it. So that's something that's really going to happen if he's unable to claim his mandate back. And then, of course, you know, we would have a situation where it's going to, you know, seriously affect the economy, and it's not going to be a very nice situation for Nigerians in general. So that's just what I think. But I'm hopeful and I'm positive that he's going to be able to get his mandate back. And I'll just say fingers crossed and hope that the tribunal realizes that it's not just about, you know, setting things right. It's also about letting the will of the people, yeah, you know, be appreciated.
I think for me, I feel like a lot is hanging on this tribunal, on this going to court issue. If truly Peter Obi won the elections, they can prove it in court that they won. And if with all the proofs, they still lose, it just goes to show that nothing works in Nigeria. The electoral system doesn't work. The judiciary system doesn't work. It just shows that if truly he won and he can't prove it. But if he didn't win and he can't prove it, then fair and square. But if he did win and he still loses in court, it just goes to show that is a failed state. And but if he goes to court and he wins, it's the beginning of everything good for Nigeria, because it means that everything is beginning to work. You know, people can trust the judiciary system, and if you can trust that, then everything falls in line. You know, last question before we run off. We still have one more election, because we are not over. It almost after the presidency, it looks like that was the end of the election. We still have one next week, Saturday. What advice do you have, Nigerians?
Well, this is particularly for those who were, you know, treated violently or one way or the other affected by violent acts of, you know, thugs and all other people. In some cases, even the armed forces and the police were used to perpetrate violence on Nigerians. I want to believe that this time around, it's actually going to be done right. I think I watched a video where the INEC chairman said that Beavers is going to truly be used for governorship elections, and I wonder why it was not used for the presidential election. But, you know, he promised again, like he has promised in the past, that Beavers is going to be used for the governorship election. So I want to hope that this time around he's actually saying the truth and Beavers would work. So I would like to ask everyone, irrespective of whoever you support or whatever party you support, goes out to vote on Saturday. I think it's high time we Nigerians took, you know, these matters into our hands and make the choices that we really want. And I want to believe that this time around, our choices would be accepted and, you know, our votes would really count. I really want to believe that our votes would really count this time, you know. But so it's just me encouraging everyone to go out, especially the obedience. Peter Obi has said you should vote everybody, the Labour Party. But aside from that, take time. We still have a number of days before the elections. Take time to research on the different candidates or the different parties. To a large extent, most of us don't even know who are running for the State House of Assemblies. We don't know them. You know, we need to know these people and know what they stand for and see whether they are in line with what we hope for our country, and then make the right choices. Aside from the party affiliations, everyone being Labour Party, obedient and all of that, make sure you research whoever the candidates are and make your choice based on understanding that these people are actually right and you are not actually being biased. You know, that's just what I would say. But to be able to do it, you have to go out and vote.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think I've said it several times on this podcast. You need to research your candidates. I will never come here and tell you vote for anybody, because I don't want your vote to be dependent on what I say. You know, go out, research these people. Go out. What do they stand for? Like what Cheryl said about having user-centered manifesto. Don't come and tell us what you think we need to hear. Come and tell us what we really need to hear. You know, tell us what is paining us, not what you think to hear. you know, and that's pretty that's it. I just feel I feel like I'm saying to Nigerians, the journey is not over. We still have one more battle to fight. Let's go and fight this battle. Let's fight well. Let's do a reset. Like, again, we're not voting out APC or PDP, we're voting in people. So we need to be conscious of who we're voting in. Not just because we want to vote out APC and PDP, we're just voting anybody. No, do your research, check out these people, and you know, hopefully we'll get it right. I'm hoping to see new governors from new parties and
thinking about the
change. Yeah. So thank you so much, Chairman, for coming on this podcast. It's been nice listening to you. Right from uni days, you've been always calm, you know, giving, talking in a very calm way. It's me that is the bad guy. But yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Let's hear you. You were going to say something.
It was nice being on your podcast. I've listened to you for quite some time now, and I enjoy how you talk about certain different topics and how you discuss some different issues. It's really wonderful. I wish you all the best, and thanks to also to all your listeners who keep listening to your podcast. I think you really do a great job. I wish you all the best, and maybe in a few weeks we can also come back and talk about how.
I'm sure. In fact, after the court, I'm bringing you back here. After the court case, we're bringing you back here, so we'll talk about it. Yeah. So thank you, and thank you to everybody listening. And like I begged you guys last week, please share it. My numbers, the numbers increased after the listeners' numbers increased last episode. People should help me so that I will not have depression. I cannot be thinking of Nigeria problem and low podcast numbers. People should share with your friends. You know. Get people to listen. Yeah, thank you guys so much. God bless you, and God bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria.